The following program is suitable for all ages.
Buffoon. A certain magic will always linger with the very name. It speaks of courage and fervor in the world's most brutal game. 55, worn by Doug Buffoon, a Chicago Bear through and through. He demanded excellence of himself and anyone wearing navy blue.
You tell me what's going on. This is moronic. We're going to get our ass whipped all the way down the line. I want somebody to get kicked in the ass and get out there and play. You're getting paid to play this game. I'm playing right. I don't mind you getting beat. I got my ass whipped many times. But I tell you, I took somebody down with me. You are a professional team. Act like one, for God's sakes.
Football fans, this is Buffoon 55, the John Buffoon Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Buffoon 55, a show that takes a unique look at Chicago Bears football. I am your host, John Buffoon. We have a good one for you today. We're talking Bears Vikings coming off the debacle in Green Bay. The kid, Mitch Trubisky, going to get his first start in his young NFL career on Monday night at Soldier Field. That should be a good one. We're going to dive into that one. But before we do any of that, I'm going to bring on my trusty producer, Aldo Gandia, who's going to give you all the premise of this show, just in case you've never caught it before, which if you haven't, I can't believe that. But go ahead, Aldo, tell them how the show works.
Absolutely, John. Thanks for having me on as your producer. I appreciate it. The premise is pretty simple. You and I worked out this formula where I will ask you five questions about the Chicago Bears and five questions about the upcoming opponent. Of course, this week it's the Vikings. And you have 55 seconds to answer each question. At 55 seconds, you will hear this. And then we'll turn to our next question. The premise, of course, is dedicated to Doug Buffoon, my boyhood hero, growing up watching the Chicago Bears, and your uncle. So every show is dedicated to Doug. And John, before we begin, I've got to ask you one question. 4 days after the Bears beat the Steelers in what was your John Buffoon Super Bowl game, because you live out in that Pittsburgh area in Pennsylvania, the Packers go ahead and thrash the Bears 35-14 on national TV. How do you personally deal with such a disappointing loss like that? I know how your uncle would have dealt with it, because we heard his comments at the beginning of the show in the open. How do you personally deal with a defeat like that?
Oh, man. I mean, as great as the Steelers win felt, that's as bad as the Packers loss feels. I'm so tired of them losing to Green Bay. I'm tired of this losing stretch. I'm tired of they lost the grasp on the series. I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers fist pumping and doing that stupid championship belt thing. I mean, I don't get upset over Bears losses too much anymore, just because I'm used to it. But I still hate losing to the Packers, and I hate seeing the Bears on primetime getting their butts whipped. I mean, I know everybody has to do a Thursday night game, but enough with putting this team on primetime. I'm tired of getting ripped from afar through text messages and tweets saying, look at the Bears, because they're on national TV. I like when I can just put on my NFL Sunday ticket, watch them in my own little basement, and then no one really has to watch it inside of my own area. So short answer, how do I deal with it? I don't. I'm tired of seeing this team on. I'm tired of seeing this team on ESPN. I'm tired of seeing this team on NBC in primetime. Until they're worth a damn, take them off, because I'm tired of watching them get their butts kicked in front of a national audience.
Well, all I have to do is add a couple of bleeps there, and you'll sound just like Doug Buffoon. I'm not kidding. All right, let's get ready. Let's do this thing. First question about the Chicago Bears. You all set?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. Well, Mike Glennon, he just got worse and worse and worse as the season progressed. Now, on the CBS broadcast of the game, Tony Romo commented that Glennon wasn't being helped by offensive coordinator Dial Loggins. Now, those weren't his exact words. I'm paraphrasing. Romo said that the offense needed a quarterback that can bootleg and move the pocket. It does appear that Glennon, he was running Mitch Trubisky's offense. Do you agree with that, or do you think that Glennon just got really, really bad all on his own? You are on the clock.
Well, I think it's a mixture of both. I don't think Glennon was making very good reads to begin with, and he threw some of those throws were way off target. But I do think that the offense and personnel is better suited for Mitchell Trubisky. I think they need to move the pocket if they want to be successful. Maybe use some RPO actions, run pass option kind of offenses. They have reliable tight ends. They have good running backs. But I mean, the wide receivers are subpar to average at best. So you need to confuse some defenses. So I think they would have liked to have seen Glennon succeed a little bit more, maybe leave Trubisky couple more weeks to learn and get, you know, accustomed to the offense. But I mean, Glennon couldn't hack it. I mean, when you have a veteran quarterback that you bring in to kind of be the mentor to your rookie, he's supposed to take care of the ball. The Brian Hoyer, if you will. He has to take care of the ball, maybe move the offense, maybe not take too many chances, but he started turning the ball over and he couldn't hack it. So, I mean, I'm just kind of happy that he didn't play that well. So we didn't have to have 3, 4, 5 more weeks of justifying Mike Glennon in there before, you know, Mr. Trubisky finally gets his start at quarterback.
Amen on that one. Now, question number two. Here we are a week from that Packer game. Was there any part of that game that we as fans can say, hey, you know, we could build on that part of the game? Or was that entire game just an atrocity? John, you are on the clock.
Well, I think what we can take away is the fact that Glennon's probably not going to, he's not going to be in a Bears uniform for much longer, or at least going to be playing for the rest of the year. The Packers just had their number. They couldn't get the running game churning. They couldn't pass a lick. The defense couldn't stop a nosebleed, but the offense wasn't doing them any favors by, you know, turning it over. It looked like they beat Pittsburgh the week before and they just went to sleep until Thursday. So I mean, we saw this last year. Remember the Bears beat Minnesota on Halloween and this team was really feeling itself, like, oh man, we got the pieces, we can maybe make a little bit of a run here. And then they got blown out 2 weeks later after the bye week, 36-10 against Tampa Bay. So I think what you have to do here is you bury the game to you build on the fact that you hopefully don't have to see Glennon for the rest of the year, and you're going to have a completely new philosophy with the rookie in there. I think you're not going to learn a whole lot from getting your butt kicked with Mike Glennon at quarterback in Green Bay. I think, like I said, you bury it and you move forward and you see what the kid brings you.
That team did look uninspired, and then when you heard some of the players talk after the game, in particular Akeem Hicks, talking about, you know, we need to make changes on defense and offense.
The Devastator.
Oh, my sound effect machine went crazy.
That game was a devastator. You're right.
So it's just really, really funny that, you know, it took this long, in my opinion, you know, to make this change. And John Fox kind of hinted, you know, the players know what's going on and so forth. So it was pretty obvious that this was an entire, you know, organization cry for a new quarterback change. And let's hope that Trubisky's insertion means that this team will be fired up. All right. Speaking of fired, question number three takes us to, I want to know your take on the whole Danny Trevathan helmet to helmet hit on Packers wide receiver Davante Adams. Do you think that he should have been suspended? And if so, is one game sufficient? You are on the clock.
I think one game is sufficient. You look at the hit in slow motion, you see how brutal and egregious it kind of looked, but thankfully it looks like Adams is okay, and he might even play this week, which is, you know, miraculous if you ask me. But we do see receivers getting held up all the time with backers looking to clean them up. He led with the crown of his helmet, which is completely illegal, and yeah, that deserved a punishment. But I don't think Trevathan intended to knock him out or hurt him. I get that these are the hits that you're trying to eliminate, and, you know, that kind of plays a part in this whole thing. And if this was Vontaze Burfict or James Harrison, maybe it's a different story and they're probably gone for 4 to 8 games, maybe the rest of the season, who knows. But, I mean, Trevathan, for the most part, has a clean history. And this is probably his one get-out-of-jail-free card, if you want to put it in that kind of context, because it looked really bad. And I think a lot of this time it's reactionary, where you see a guy not moving on the ground. You see the mouthpiece fly out, and it looks horrendous. But like I said, you see a lot of this, and these are the hits you're trying to get out. So, yeah, I guess one game is sufficient for that. I would have been fine with two if they would have upheld that as well.
You know, in the days when your uncle played, I mean, that was a hit that would have been applauded over and over. But we've learned so much about these head injuries that there has to be some care taken with the player's safety.
Well, definitely. And I think that if you look at it, this would have been, if this was 10 years ago, this would have been on ESPN's Jacked Up before Monday Night Football. This would have been probably a applauded. This would have been, wow, what a hit. So, I mean, what a year, what a difference a decade makes. But this is what they're trying to get out of the game, so this is what they're going to do.
All right, question number four. Mitch Trubisky, he had a very, very impressive press conference, in my opinion, on Tuesday. What were your thoughts about the presser, and what most impressed you about Trubisky's first meeting with the press as the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears? John, you are on the clock.
Well, me being the observant person I am, it looked like he drank a lot of water while he was answering those questions. So if nothing else, he should be relatively hydrated going into Monday night. But on a serious note, yeah, he spoke well of recognizing the defenses, checking out of things, and seeing what happens when a defense rotates, which we really didn't see with Glennon. Like I said last week, there's sometimes where there was nine in the box against the Steelers, and he still ran the ball into a brick wall. So if they can improve on that a little bit and he can recognize defenses, then maybe they can have something cooking. He also talked about preparation. He quoted his high school coach about, you know, what pressure does, or how you feel pressure is the failure to prepare and things like that. He understands that things aren't going to go as scripted, which is nice, and he admitted that he wasn't the best athlete on the field. So When I watched this press conference in its entirety, he came across as a pretty humble guy, which I think some people might mistake or see as tentativeness or a lack of confidence. But that's not exactly how I see that. But I mean, the main thing here is people. The presser went well, but people aren't going to remember the presser on Monday night. That presser is forever in history, and no one's even going to look back on it. For the most part, they're going to see how this kid plays, and what he says is going to mean jack. So it all comes down to how he plays. So this presser is only going to carry him until Monday night. Then it's time to perform.
Yep, I agree with that. And you know, Chachi over at Twitter, he retweeted a tweet from @OpinionBear, and I thought this was very interesting. I wanted to get your opinion on it. He wrote that 2 years of John Fox being evasive with the media about injuries, who's starting, and all this. Now he lets out of the bag who is starting at quarterback. Don't you think that he missed out on a competitive advantage and have the Vikings prepare for both quarterbacks as opposed to announcing a week before the game that Trubisky was the quarterback? What are your thoughts on that, John?
Yeah, it kind of goes against you know, Fox's, you know, don't play the media, don't give them anything to use kind of thing. But I don't know. I think if you're in the business of, you know, playing games to get an advantage, then what the hell are you doing? So, I mean, go ahead and name the starter. Say, this is our guy. Let the guys in the locker room know, hey, this is our guy. Because if I'm a player in that locker room, I'm like, why doesn't he just say that Mitchell's the guy? Why doesn't he just come out and say, like, what are we waiting for? Because we heard players frustrated last week. What is John Fox waiting? What's coach waiting for? So now maybe he tells the players behind closed doors, okay, Trubisky's going to go. We're not going to tell the media. And now they're thinking, okay, we got to try to play these media games to try to get an advantage in a game. Now you have no confidence in us that we can't just go in and beat this team. So I think that, you know, you declare the starter. You say, listen, kid, there's no buts about it. There's not a short leash on you. We're going to name you the starter. You're going to go into Monday night. You're going to be our guy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I do get the point here from Chachi. And
I get it, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I like the fact that he was named early, and that way he meets the media as the number one quarterback. He goes through the whole routine of, this is your team now. And so please, mm-hmm. please take us to the promised land, please.
Right.
All right, our fifth and final question regarding the Chicago Bears is this one. How big of a detriment will the Bears wide receivers be to this rookie quarterback? John, you're on the clock.
Well, they certainly don't help. I don't think it's going to completely hinder his progression, but it might test his mental fortitude a little bit. There's going to be times where he might make a great throw, or he, you know, shrugs off a defender, or he escapes pressure, and he, you know, he throws it on a dime, and they're dropping balls, or they can't get any kind of separation after 4, 5, 6 seconds. So, I mean, this will be a test. Does the young fellow lift them up, or does he get frustrated? I think this is a good test for leadership whenever you don't have the best tools around you, and so he's gonna have to lean on the run game. Obviously the tight ends are going to be there, and if he can roll out, maybe the receivers get open with a couple extra seconds to, you know, to toy with the D-backs. But yeah, I mean, they're not going to help, because they're not the best squad possibly the worst squad in the league. But at least it'll be a test of his mental strength, because they're what are they doing this year anyway? We don't know. Let's see what he can do with a little bit and see if he can kind of, you know, gain some of those leadership skills that we need to see.
Very good. Now we turn our attention to the Minnesota Vikings, this week's foe. They have a record of 2-2. The first question is, the Vikings' run defense has held opponents to 71.3 yards per game. That's fourth in the NFL. That's also 3.0 yards per rush, also fourth in the NFL. Now, if they shut down the Bears' run game, what's left for this Bears offense against a defense that has several big playmakers rushing the passer? John, you are on the clock.
Well, the good news is the Vikings don't have a whole lot of tape on Trubisky. They can look at the preseason and see what he did, but they certainly can't tee off on him like they would have been able to do on Mike Glennon. However, the last thing you want to do is tell the rookie, hey, go and do it yourself. So they're going to try to run the ball, and even if they can't run the ball, they're going to try to run the ball. So maybe we're going to look at a bunch of three and outs, and they can't manage the run game. We're going to see a lot of pass, check down for a little bit, just until he gets into the flow of the game. I don't see them coming out like a house on fire in the first quarter or two quarters. So I think they're just going to let him hand off, pass. But they can't afford to be one dimensional. But that's much easier said than done. So maybe they take a few shots downfield to try to loosen up the D. I don't know if they're going to try that with the rookie yet. Maybe they bootleg Trubisky out and he has a few long runs. Maybe he gets a little more comfortable running the ball. But there really is no other option. You have to get the running game going. So, am I missing something? Or what do you think, Aldo? Am I crazy to think that they're just going to try to do what they got to do?
No, I think you're absolutely correct. I think you feed those offensive linemen some raw meat before the game and say your guys are going to be blocking forward on a lot of plays of this game. So go at it. And, you know, and we've been talking about this on our other shows, Bears Hour Live and Bears on Tap. There's something about the aura of this young quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, that I think he's just going to inspire players to play better. Unfortunately, Glennon started to lose that. I thought he had that maybe a little bit. I could sense it in his early interviews. But he lost that after he started just not performing well, and Trubisky just comes on with so much confidence. So we'll see, but I think you're absolutely right. Run the ball. What was it that Doug Buffon used to say? He used to say something like, you know, the keys to defense is stop the run. Well, let's see if the Vikings can stop the run. All right. Question number two. Xavier Rhodes, Harrison Smith, Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter, those are just some of the Viking defenders who have played very well against the Bears. For instance, Hunter has 3 sacks and 6 quarterback hurries in just 4 games against the Bears. Smith, the safety, has 3 interceptions in his 8 games confronting the Bears, one of them a 56-yard touchdown at Soldier Field. Now, is there any one particular player that you believe the Bears must neutralize on that defense? Or are they just... You know, they just have to, you know, worry about all of these guys. John, you're on the clock.
If I had to single out one guy, it's probably going to be Everson Griffin. I mean, he has 5 sacks so far, 11 total tackles. But honestly, you need to stop anyone on the edge, and that includes Hunter. You don't feed your rookie quarterback to the Wolves in his first start. And if the Vikings get initial pressure, you don't want Trubisky getting roughed up, number one. And number two, you don't want him getting dancing feet back there and just starting to unload the ball when he thinks the pocket is collapsing. So, I mean, it starts up front. I mean, if they start getting a lot of pressure on Trubisky and he's scrambling for his life, and you know he's getting hit and he's being sacked or he's being rushed and he's just trying to get the ball out, it's not going to help his progression, it's not going to help his mechanics at all, and second of all, that'll lead to picks for guys like Rhodes and Smith. So it all starts up front. If Trubisky's running for his life, you don't want to see your rookie quarterback doing that, because you don't give him any chance to get into any kind of rhythm or get a feel for the game, because there's a guy in his face about a half a second after the ball snap. So I'll say Everson Griffin just because I think he's the most dangerous one, but you got to be able to protect the quarterback when he drops back to pass.
I hear you. Let's protect that quarterback. Let's open up some running lanes. Let's celebrate some touchdowns.
Let's do something.
All right, question number 3 about the Vikings. This Bears defense, they've got a bit of a test. Now, we're going to talk about the quarterback a little later of the Vikings, that whole situation, but I was reading up and saw that wide receiver Stephon Diggs has 391 receiving yards and wide receiver Adam Thielen 358 receiving yards. That ranks first and third in the NFL in receiving yards. What's your level of confidence that the Bears' defensive backs can contain the Vikings' wide receivers, especially Diggs, who has had some big games against the Bears? John, you are on the clock.
Well, if you look at the duo of Diggs and Thielen, they lead the NFL in 20-yard-plus receptions so far in 2017. Diggs has 8, Thielen has 7. Wow. It's hard to stop that, and you know the Vikings are going to take their shots. So whether it's Adrian Amos and Eddie Jackson back there or whoever they have back there, They need to be aware and not blow coverages. This is going to be a mental test for them, where Minnesota is going to pick up yards and chunks. And guess what? You start loosening up to defend those long bombs, and all of a sudden they're going to start picking you apart underneath, and then the running game opens up, and it's a domino effect, just like I just said. For the Bears offensive line, whatever happens there is going to open up stuff for the secondary in Minnesota. It's a domino effect where if they start playing back, then Minnesota is going to pick them apart. There's going to be running lanes there. So my confidence level to answer the question, I'm probably about a 5 out of 10, which is how I generally feel about the Bears as a team and as an organization for the most part. So I don't like it, because I think that they're going to be able to break away a few times, and they have to try to contain that, but it's going to be super tough.
What does the season-ending injury to Dalvin Cook do to the Vikings' run game? And do you think that Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon, are they anything for the Chicago Bears defense to worry about? John, you're on the clock.
I think it's pretty significant, because Cook was such an explosive player, both running and catching. And honestly, you really hate seeing any player go down. I don't care if it's the Vikings, the Packers, the Lions, or anybody else in the NFL. You hate to see a rookie with that much potential go down with a season-ending injury. You could tell that he was broken up about it, so you hate to see that. But you basically break him up into two players now. Murray is the guy you're probably going to use between the tackles on first and second down. And McKinnon is more the receiving back, maybe the third down guy. And if anything, if it helps the Bears at all, it might telegraph things more, but Murray has also had a season where he caught over 40 balls, so you just won't have the extra explosiveness out of the backfield, maybe an extra second or two for the Bears defenders to react and swarm. Basically, I mean, with Cook out, it's only good things for the Bears defense. But like I said, you're kind of taking what Cook was and you break him into two players. So you still got to contain McKinnon catching the ball. You got to contain Murray in the tackles. And with linebacker play right now, as far as the inside linebackers without Trevathan and whoever the hell they start at inside linebacker this week, I mean, it's not going to be easy.
It won't indeed. All right, so we have that quarterback question teed up now. This is our fifth and final question about the Vikings. There is no word yet if Sam Bradford can play on Monday night. And if Case Keenum goes, he's had two fair games, and that's being kind, one really good one against the Bucks. What's your analysis of the Vikings' quarterback position, and is this the week the Bears' pass rush finally tees off on an opposing quarterback? John, you're on the clock.
Well, we've been waiting about a month for it, but you look at a guy like Case Keenum, no turnovers in his starts so far. He lit up the Bucks for 369 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's not an overly mobile guy, so maybe that plays into the Bears' defense favor as far as getting the pass rush on. I guess Bradford's practicing. Maybe he steps in and has some rust on him that the Bears' pass rush can shake off, if you know what I mean. You can't give these guys a lot of time. I don't care who it is. It can be Case Keenum. It can be Sam Bradford. For all we know, it could be some guy that they pick up off the practice squad. It could be Christian Ponder. If you give these guys an extra 2 to 3 seconds, your secondary is going to look like bums. But it's actually your pass rush that's letting you down. With these receivers that Minnesota has, if you give them another 2, 3, 4 seconds to look around, you can't expect the Bears DBs to hang with them that long. So, I mean, when I look at the Vikings quarterback position, I say it really doesn't matter who's back there. Keenum showed that he could do it against the Bucks, and he could very well do it against the Bears. Now, if it's Bradford, he could also do it. So, I mean, it's all about getting pressure, and that'll be the theme of this entire game. If they can get to the quarterback, they're going to be successful. I know that's basic and that's duh, but that's what it comes down to.
Absolutely. You know, we've got some followers on our chat room, and I just want to share with you, John, a couple of the comments they've made during the course of the show as they've been listening to you. Batty Hello, H-E-L-O, writes, "I don't think we really know what the wide receivers can do yet. They haven't been targeted enough." That's a fair statement, don't you think?
Yeah, that's fair, but I mean, we also saw a deep shot to Wheaton bounce off his fingers, and granted, he's coming off of a hand surgery. So, I mean, yeah, maybe you have sufficient, and I use that term loosely, and you know, Wheaton and Kendall Wright, and you know, we've seen what happens with Josh Bellamy, you know, so I don't know. Yeah, they haven't been targeted enough, but I mean, let's not fool ourselves into thinking that the Bears are sitting on a treasure trove of wide receiver talent.
That's for sure.
So, I mean, yeah, maybe they get better with Trubisky in there. Maybe they get a couple extra seconds to try to break away from the defenders. But, I mean, they certainly don't help, like right. I said before. So we'll see. Maybe there's only room for improvement.
Somebody on Twitter wrote to me and said, Josh Bellamy has hands like frying pans. And I wrote back, yeah, nonstick frying pans.
Yeah, no kidding. I think somebody made a compilation of Bellamy drops once, and they are horrendous. It's killing me that this guy is on the Chicago Bears and getting some actual playing time.
Mm-hmm. Now, Frankie Myers wrote that Stephon Diggs' goal is to become the player that Randy Moss once was for the Vikings. His determination needs to be matched by our corners, or they will be dominated all game because Diggs will always win the battle of wills for 50-50 balls and OOB catches. I'm not sure what that means, but it's a good point. I mean, we saw Diggs really have a field day at Soldier Field, what was it, a year ago? So I can understand the concern about containing Stephon Diggs.
You get so much separation that if you give a little bit of time, he's going to be wide open on a lot of these plays, whether it's a quick slant where he takes it up the middle because he's not afraid to do that, or if you send him on a go route where he does a little double move or something like that, he can create a lot of separation. That's why I said it's going to be so key to see what these safeties do whenever it's their job to be the help over the top. If they blow an assignment or they don't pick up the right receiver or they key in on one route too much, they're gonna get torched. Yep. So I mean, that being said, that's kind of showing my hand a little bit of what I think about the Bears secondary right now. But it's all about getting the pass rush.
Very good. Okay, and Frankie informed me that OOB means out of bounds. So I've got a new one that I've learned today about all of these acronyms for Twitter and texting. All right, John, it is that time of the show where I turn off the clock and ask you for your prediction. Now, the Bears, as you know, have won 8 of the last 9 at Soldier Field and 14 of the last 16. So does that impact your decision-making on your prediction? And does playing outdoors for a Vikings team impact their play, given that they're primarily a dome team? So take it away.
I mean, I think it could have an effect in the wintertime. I mean, we're still in early October, so I don't know if it really plays a factor. But, I mean, so far the Bears have obviously played better at home than they do on the road. There's really no denying that. It's going to be Monday night at Soldier Field. Trubisky, it's his first career start. I think the Bears actually create some points this week through their defense. I know that doesn't make any sense from what I said before, but I think there's going to be an opportunity for them to jump on a fumble, or you know, there's going to be a batted ball that happens. And this is just, maybe this is wishful thinking. Maybe I don't have a whole lot to base this on, but I will say that if they finally show up and get the pressure that we were expecting to see the entire year, they can create some points on defense, take a little bit of pressure off the offense, and maybe not put so much pressure on their rookie quarterback. Aldo, I'm telling you right now, I'm going Bears 17, Vikings 13. I'm predicting All right. a Bears victory this week, Monday Night Football. Quirky things happened at night. It's going to be at Soldier Field. Maybe, just maybe, something happens that the Bears can put some points on the board via their defense, and all of a sudden, that carries them to the promised land. Bears 17, Vikings 13. If you don't like that prediction, I understand why. But anyway, before we go, I just want to say that Bears Ballroom Radio Network does offer a variety of different shows, much like this one. And for instance, tomorrow, Aldo, you're going to be hosting Bears on Tap. Your guest is going to be BJ Rydell, an editor over at VikingsTerritory.com. BJ covers the Vikings, as he's going to share the latest news on Sam Bradford's status. That's something the Bears fans are going to be very interested in, to see who the quarterback is that the pass rush is hoping to tee off on. And also, to subscribe to the Bears Ballroom Radio Network, the easiest way is to go to Podbean. That's Podbean, one word, .com. And in the search bar, type in Bears Ballroom, and of course, we're going to pop up. From there, you can have it downloaded to any of your podcast delivery channels, and you can also do the same with iTunes. Type in Bears Barroom, and there you go. We also have a YouTube channel that offers up analysis on Bears players, and please don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Bears Barroom, and you can also find me on Twitter at JD Buffone. If you don't know how to spell Buffone, just say Buff 1. JD Buff 1. That's what we're going to go with. Anyway, that will do it for this edition of Buffone 55. This has been a good one. Bears, Monday Night Football. First start for Mitchell Trubisky. Should be a good one. And if it's not, you better believe we're going to be talking about it next week. Same time, same place. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you later.